affectionately called PC. He had the privilege of staying with JR and Peg. And he said, when he was coming the next year, he said, I hope I get to stay with them again. He did. And so they have a way of working their way into your heart. And so, JR, thank you for sharing your testimony today. John 15 is where we're at. And I want to continue. We started in Sunday school. We said that John 15 is the seventh of the I Am statements Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. He begins in John 4 with the woman at the well. This is the seventh now time he has called himself the I Am. We said that that was important because it comes from Exodus chapter 3, where God says to Moses, and answering the question of the children of Israel, whom shall I say is sending me? Tell them the I Am has sent you. It is the name that we call Jehovah. That four-letter word in Hebrew, YHWH. It is so precious to the Jewish people that when they come to that name, they cannot even pronounce it aloud. It is changed to the name Hashem, the name. And so Jesus takes that name, that title, to himself. Now in John 15, in the way, on the way to Gethsemane, Jesus says to them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. In John 15, Jesus holds the key to personal relationship with God, the key to church growth. It goes beyond strategy, it goes beyond programs, it goes to the very, very base. Without me, you can do nothing. Not one thing. If you want an example of that, the disciples, when they were fishing, saw Jesus, and he said to them, children, do you have any meat? And they said, we have fished all night, and we have caught nothing. And then he says, cast your net on the right side. And it's like, who is this guy? Sure, I'll do that. And when they cast to the right side, their net was filled. And John immediately recognizes who is on the shore. It's Jesus. Peter leaps out of the boat, makes his way to the shore to meet the Lord Jesus on that morning. You want an illustration? I can't do anything without him. Paul put it this way in Philippians 4:13, though. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a contrast. You can do nothing without me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's our key to our fellowship with God. Here's our key to church growth. Here is exactly what we need to remind ourselves of, that what is primary is our relationship to Him. It's primary to Him, but is it primary to us? That's why He says, I am the vine, you are the branch. The progression goes from the vine dresser, the owner, the supervisor, the general manager, the one responsible for overseeing the vineyard. Then there is the vine itself. And on that vine are branches. And on those branches come the grapes. Or in Israel's case, maybe some olives too. For the name Gethsemane means olive crush. The process begins. The vine dresser, the owner, goes through the vineyard. He examines the vines, each and every one. Dear ones, the vine dresser cares about every one of those vines. Every one. No one is overlooked from his sight. Can I remind you that none of us are ever overlooked from his sight? He made you. You matter to him. He has an investment in you and in me. Now, Jesus in verses 4 and 5 underscores the relationship we have with him. He simply says in a command, abide in me. Abide in me, and I in you. There it is, dear ones. It's all about our relationship to him. God is all about relationships. Now, the key to abiding and bearing fruit is abiding. Those two words dominate in John 15, 1 through 8. Let's look first at the word abide. He says it in verse number 4. Abide in me and I in you. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. The word abide has two ideas. One is to have an open relationship. The vine allows the sap to come to the branches so they can nourish and nurture the fruit, produce the fruit, and the farmer picks it and we get to eat it. Yes, JR, even when it becomes raisins. Abide in me, and I in you. An open relationship that allows that sap to flow unhindered, unchecked, and bring all of the nourishment to the vine, to the branch, and to bear the fruit. Unhindered, unchecked access from the vine to the branch. But here's the other idea behind abide. Sit. How many of you have a favorite easy chair? Can I see your hands? You do? How about a good couch? You know, we just bought a couch a little while ago. You know, the true test of a couch is, can I take a nap on it? That's the true test of a couch. Abide. Sit down. Rest. You don't have to do anything, my friend. You don't have to do a thing. He's done it all. You rest in him. You have unhindered access from the power flowing through you. The vine is working, the branch is bearing. And all I have to do is abide and watch him work through me. He bears the fruit. That doesn't mean I don't work, but I don't work for his pleasure. I already have it. He's in me. I am in him. Underscore that in John 15, verse number 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. For without me, you can do, say it for me, what? Nothing. Not one thing. Now in verse 7, the Lord Jesus adds something. Abide in me has been going through this passage. But then he adds a wrinkle, an additional component to abide. Look at it in verse 7 with me. In John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, here's the wrinkle, here's the new component, and my words abide in you. Stop there. You haven't mentioned that yet. But he did in a way. Go back up to verse number 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. There is a little chorus we used to sing in Sunday school. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. And so we travel together, my Bible and I. It's a treasure. It is our feed. It is our food, dear ones. I like to eat. I feel better telling you that. How about you? How many of you enjoy eating? Can I see your hands? Okay? Yeah, me too. I'm in good company. If we don't eat, we starve. If we don't drink the water of life, you die of thirst. Dear ones, we are to feed on his word. We are to let his word dwell in us richly in all wisdom. Colossians 3:16 says. So now we have an abiding in him, and if I'm abiding in him, I'm going to abide in his word, and his word will fill me with wisdom. So the key to my fruit bearing is abiding in him. Now notice with me fruit in this section. The term fruit appears first in verse 2, as a negative. John 15, 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Okay, we got a problem. The vine's alive, branch is active, but nothing's happening. No fruit's coming. Ah, the vine dresser sees, I know the problem. It's too low. It's not getting what it needs from the sun and the rain. And so the vine dresser stops, and as we said in the first hour, he lifts up that vine. Doesn't take it away, doesn't cut it off. No, 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 no. Because that vine has had an investment by the owner. He's not going to lose money. And so the vine dresser tenderly lifts the vine. The branch, I should say, ties it to the vine. And now it's going to be, by the touch of the master's hand, allowed to produce. Now, Then the next way of fruit in this section is in verse 2. Every branch in me that bears fruit has the privilege of being cut, pruned. I enjoyed the book so much by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. He tells the story of he and his family moved to the country, and they noticed that the farm adjacent to their home had luscious fruit, grape vines. In the spring, when the farmer went out, Bruce was full of consternation because he looked at those vines and there was a pile of cut vines this high or so. And he went over and he said to the farmer, I was hoping to be able to share some of your fruit, but the way you're cutting, we'll never have anything. We aren't going to have anything. The farmer just kept cutting. And he says, you're from the city, aren't you? What gave it away? From the city, aren't you? Yes, sir. Don't know much about fruit, do you? No. He said, you want big grapes like this? He said, yes, I do. He said, I'm going to keep cutting. Dear ones, the prune, that pruning hurts. Not only does it cut away that which is harmful and destructive, sometimes he cuts what's good, healthy, and productive. And it's like, why? Because I want you to bear more fruit. I was at a conference, and I had planned on lunch hour to be able to spend some time with the Lord, read and pray, and use my lunch hour in that way. But what happened was that there was a young man in our group who came up to me and started talking, and that ended up taking most of my lunch hour. And so a lady in our group stopped by and she said, so, was that of God or was that of Satan? You wanted to pray and read, but you didn't get to do that. And I said, oh, no. No, no. That's of God. That's of God. I'm not going to give Satan credit for that. Because we had fellowship. We talked about things that were on his heart. That's of God. The pruner pruned. It's okay. Folks, pruning hurts. Sometimes we don't understand. The hymn writer said, the broken heart I had was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. He found it full of fear and foolish pride. He swept away the things that made me blind. And now I see the clouds are silver lined. And now I understand 'twas best for me. He filled my eyes with tears that I might see. God doesn't waste anything, folks. Doesn't waste anything. He wants fruit. And when he doesn't see fruit, he nourishes it. He changes that so it can bear fruit. When he sees fruit, he has more fruit in mind, and so he does the pruning. And then he says, I want more fruit. There's fruit, no fruit, fruit, more fruit. More fruit. And then there's much fruit. Much fruit. Dear ones, as our Savior, as our Shepherd, as our vine dresser, he wants fellowship with you. He wants fellowship with you. The vine and the branch are working together to bear fruit to the glory of God. And if I try to do all that on my own, You can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me when I abide in him. Now, what does the grape confess? What does the grape confess in our passage? Imagine a grape. You're in the vineyard, and you have a grape that you can talk with. And the grape says to you, "Good day! Isn't it gorgeous? Have you seen the work of my owner? We here have an abundance of fruit this year, and it's all because of our vine dresser's skill. We can't do anything on our own. If he doesn't tend us, care for us, nourish us, we can't do anything. We actually have to let you know that we are totally dependent upon him. His skill, his ability, his protection. We are totally dependent upon him. We belong to him. We know whose we are. We belong to the Father. He cares for us. He owns us. We know whose we are. The first confession that a grape will make to you, my dear friend, we know whose we are. There's no identity crisis. I am his, and he is mine. Jesus put it this way in John 17, dear ones. Father, that they may know the only true God. And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. But our grape continues. We are totally dependent upon him. And have you noticed how abundant the fruit is? It's because we belong to him and his care that we have produced so well. We are here for his purpose. We want him to be seen. We are here for his joy. The second confession that a grape makes, dear ones, is that not only do I know whose I am, I know what I am. I'm a branch in the vine, and I'm the fruit of the branch. We're all in it together. It's all one single relationship. I know what I am. I know whose I am. And finally, I know that if I am not in the vine, I won't be here very long. So I know where I am. I am in the vine. I know where I am. I am in the vine. And you know what? The vine is in me. John put it this way in his epistle. I love 1 John. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I know whose I am. I know where I am, and I know what I am. Those are the three confessions of a great. And the vine and the branch are the key to personal growth and to church growth from the day Jesus said it in the first century until the 21st century and until he comes. Without me, you can do nothing. The question is, are you in him? And is he in you? That is life's most important question, friend. Do you know him? Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for the relationship that we have with you through Jesus Christ. Thank you that our relationship with you is eternal. This is eternal life. Lord, we thank you for Bancroft Congregational Church, and we pray for your prospering. We pray for the individuals in the church that, God, that they would bear fruit to the glory of God. We pray for Pastor and his family and for the leadership that, God, that you would use them. Lord, we pray this morning now again that we would know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. May we indeed confess along with those produce in the vineyard that we know whose we are, we know what we are, and we know where we are. We belong to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand if you're able. We're going to sing Cornerstone. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Lord of all.
Please bow and receive this benediction, this good word from Colossians. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May the grace of God and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you this day and always. Amen.